Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom Show. I'm your host, Yvonne Silva. If you haven't tuned in before, this show is about sharing stories, stories to uplift the spirit of humanity. Often they're stories of women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, like burn survivor Kelly Salado, or soul guides Carrie Hummingbird, or confidence and chaos, from rising from chaos to confidence. People such as Monica Kretschmer, the founder of Women of Inspiration, and relationship expert Dr. Roberta Sharla, who grew up in a dysfunctional household of abuse and verbal hijacking. So for those listeners who I have not met yet in person, I help women flourish in business through my work in mentorship, speaking and coaching, sharing my best-selling book, and working with clients in group fashion. So my clients see their business grow by having more confidence, more powerful conversations, that's my expertise, more sales, and engage their team so they have work and life balance, and they become great role models, especially for their daughters. So today, I have the pleasure of connecting with success icon, Deborah Poneman. Deborah, are you on the line with me?
I am on the line and thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here too. When we met in January at the this January at the Evolutionary Business Council Summit, and I snapped a picture with you, I didn't know that we were going to get to connect again like this, but it's beautiful. So welcome to the show. Just for those who haven't, again, dialed in before, this is a live show with Deborah. I'll give you some phone numbers in a few minutes. So if you want to grab a pen and paper, in case you have questions along the way that you have the opportunity to dial in and ask Deborah or myself. Deborah is what I describe as a success icon. I mean, really, she began transforming lives in the 1970s, where she studied with some of the greatest spiritual masters of the East. And she is often in deep meditation for 10 to 12 hours a day, or even complete silence for weeks at a time. And then she taught meditation herself to thousands. So she really immersed herself in the 1980s in the knowledge of the masters of Western metaphysical thought, and founded her business, Yes to Success Seminars, bringing what were then really considered pretty radical ideas, like, you know, your thoughts create your reality, into the mainstream, and teaching people around the world how to create outer success on a foundation of inner silence. Ooh, so impactful. And of course, meditation now today is a much more common practice. Back then, though, Deborah's students were learning teachings and ultimately became mega successful entrepreneurs. Many of them are transformational leaders. You recognize them as New York Times best-selling authors, millionaires, billionaires, household names. But her greatest gift is her deep belief in each person's magnificence and their innate ability to live lives of not only success and abundance, but profound happiness, deep self-love, lasting inner fulfillment. And for her, I'm really delighted today that we have a chance to dive in to talking about, you know, when living your truth is difficult, but you do it anyway. So welcome. I am thrilled that we've had a chance to reconnect. I know you've been pretty busy living with major changes in the last few years yourself. Recently moved across the country to, I think it's Chicago, right?
It is Chicago, the windy city, and it is windy today. Maybe not as windy as it is in Northern California, but it's windy.
Well, it was pretty windy here the other day. All of the local signs were blowing over.
Yes, we have to pray for these winds to die down, especially in Northern California.
Well, especially in Northern California, absolutely, as our radio show station, BBS Radio, is hosted there. So crossing fingers today, the generator backups stay in place. We can have this hour to ourselves. So yeah. I'm thrilled that you could join me today to share some of your key learnings. You've had an amazing career, and as your career has evolved, you have a very important message to share. When living your truth is difficult, but you do it anyway. So I'm actually curious, Deborah, you know, how did you originally get interested in spirituality and meditation, which I understand you did for many, many hours a day at one point? How did that start?
Yeah, well, that's probably the most uninteresting story, but I'm going to share it anyway, because the truth is that in 1970, I was in college, and I saw a poster, and it had a picture of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi on it, and I thought, wow, that would be so cool to become a meditator. But really, I thought Maharishi was going to be at the lecture. It was at the University of Illinois. And I went there, and it wasn't Maharishi at all. But it just made sense what the person was saying, that if you want to be a successful student, you have to do something that will center you, that will help you get rid of your anxiety. And for me, I needed a way to have more alertness and more energy, because I often slept through class. And I thought, I'll do it. What can go wrong? So anyway, I learned transcendental meditation at the time, and it was so profoundly life-transforming for me that I left school and I became a meditation teacher. I spent many years with Maharishi, and as you said, when you're becoming a teacher, you not only learn the steps to becoming a teacher, but you meditate for at least 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours a day. Sometimes we would fast 4 weeks at a time. Sometimes I'd be in silence for a month at a time. I know, that sounds really, really, Deborah, you've been in silence for a month at a time, because you know me now, I can't be in silence for a minute at a time, but, except when I'm listening to you, which I could listen to you forever, but in silence. But yeah, so the story is just kind of, I was just swept along in the energy of the late 60s and early 70s, where meditation was the name of the game. And what's so beautiful about it now is that so much scientific research has been done that validates that meditation does, in fact, get rid of stress, that it does, in fact, bring your inner silence, that it does, in fact, bring you more self-confidence, all of the things that you address in your shows. And truthfully, I have meditated 20 minutes twice a day when I'm not in these courses where we do long meditation. Next year, it's going to be, I know this is scary to say, but it's going to be 50 years that I've been meditating for 20 minutes twice a day, and I really believe that it's the basis to my success.
Wow, 50 years. Okay, so we're both very seasoned ladies then.
We are. But the other great thing about it, that meditation does, in fact, it has been scientifically proven to also slow down and even reverse the aging process. So that's another reason why we love it.
Well, I know for, you know, certainly when I'm working with my coaching clients, you know, typically it's like having a full closet. You know, everything is stuffed in there and you can't see what you've got to wear that day. I typically always will go through a visioning exercise with them, and then we start clearing out some mind clutter so that they have room for the new learnings that we're going to do together. So it's so important to make space for those universal messages to pop in. And if we're too busy in our lives and too much stuff going on, we just don't have the mental bandwidth to really acknowledge what's being downloaded. So thank you for bringing that to the Western world. Because I think it was, almost four decades ago when no one out there was really doing seminars on, you know, the law of attraction or how to create a great life, when you started your success seminar company that then, pretty much exploded internationally and helped launch the careers of thousands of people, you know, some of whom, as I mentioned, went on to become household names. So a lot of us have ideas, but I'm curious, you know, sometimes we get stopped by doubts. And from what I understand, you were a young woman who started with no money, no business experience. So how did you create such amazing success? I'm sure that's what many listeners want to know.
Well, My first answer, of course, is being a regular meditator and practicing a technique that has been proven to give you inner silence. I taught through the Transcendental Meditation Organization for several decades, and now I teach through the Art of Living Foundation. But the techniques come from the same tradition. So creating inner silence is the first step. But at the time, I was actually living in a meditation community in the 70s, and I was actually the director of admissions at Maharishi International University in Fairfield, Iowa. And I realized one day that woman does not live by mantra alone, that we also need to have some money. And being a nonprofit, I was not making any money. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to the place where people make a lot of money. I decided that was L.A. So I left Iowa for L.A., and I became an account executive with a financial company because I thought, oh, I'll make a lot of money, then I'll go back and do what I love. But you know that expression, we make plans and God laughs, and we seldom end up, you know, we go and we think we're doing these things for one reason, but they turn out to be a completely different reason. But you still should follow that impulse of the intuition. Anyway, I went to L.A. I was a dismal failure at selling investments. As a matter of fact, I never sold one. But I was invited to an event one night this was 1980, and it was actually on the law of attraction. And the man who was giving the event, I thought it was going to be on stocks and bonds because it was called Money Magic, but it was on the energetic practices to bring money into your life. And he said basically that the main thing that we need to do is to watch our thoughts and watch our words. And if we're always going around saying, I'll never get out of debt, I'll never be wealthy, I'm always down to fumes, and we're always declaring those things, then we vibrate with that vibration. And what the man said was that no matter what your financial situation is, you can always paint word pictures of what's coming in the future. Like, hey, I might not have much money in the bank right now, but I absolutely know. I see myself as wealthy. I see myself in the house that I want to be in. I see myself driving the car that I want to be. I know that it's coming. And you start vibrating with that high vibration. And like a tuning fork, that energy of prosperity is drawn to you. And I just thought this was the most amazing knowledge that I had ever heard. And to make a long story short, I went to bed that night. I woke up the next morning, and I realized why I really came to L.A. was to hear this person's lecture, and I knew what I was going to do the rest of my life, which was to teach people these energetic principles of creating success and prosperity. So I read all of the great masters, the books by Napoleon Hill and Wallace Wattles and Florence Shin and Earl Nightingale and Catherine Ponder. And I put together a course called Yes to Success. And a few months later, I launched it. And as they say, the rest is history. Within a few short years, my seminars were being taught by reps all over the world. And I was teaching in every major U.S. city from coast to coast. And but can I just tell you a couple of the principles that I learned that I used in order to become successful? Is that okay? Can I put them in here? Okay. Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I learned is that when an idea comes to you, it comes to you because it wants to be manifested by you. That's why you have the idea to be a confidence catalyst. You have an idea to have a show, Words and Wisdom. I didn't have that idea. That idea came to you because it was your sovereignty. You were supposed to manifest that idea. So each of us are given these ideas, and because I believe that there's an energy in the universe, you could call it God, you could call it spirit, you can call it whatever you want, but it looks down and sees, okay, this person would be great at doing this job that I need done on the earth right now to make the earth work. And if we listen to that whisper in our ear and we start moving forward, we will get the support to make that idea into reality. It might not happen the next day, but it will happen because that idea came to you because it wanted to be manifested through you. And the idea to start a seminar company, Yes to Success, came to me. Okay? And two other principles that I absolutely lived by. One is I didn't go around telling everybody what I was going to do until I had significantly manifested it. I believe what is sacred should be kept secret. And when you have an idea of a way that you are going to contribute to humanity, keep it inside yourself. Because if you go around telling people what you're going to do, one of two things is going to happen. One is that you're going to bump up against the discouragement committee, those people who are going to tell you all of the reasons why your idea will not work. And then your idea will be crushed before it even has a chance to be manifest. But the other thing that could happen is that people will say, wow, that's a great idea. You're the perfect person for it. But you've kind of let the steam out of the kettle. Like everybody's, oh, yeah, that's going to be great. And there isn't as much of an impetus. There isn't much as much of a pressure to actually go and manifest it. You've already gotten the praise. You've already gotten the accolades. I say keep the steam inside the kettle until it builds up so much that it has to burst forth as a manifestation of your idea. And then when that happens, then what you have to do is you have to take a step from which there's no turning back. What I did when I had the idea to have the seminar company, I had every doubt in the world about why it should be me. I was 28 years old. I was a woman. I had no college degree except for a bachelor's in interdisciplinary studies from Maharishi International University. As I said, I was broke. I drove a beat-up Chevy Bel Air that my aunt had left me when she died. And even though I knew that idea had come to me, I had to make myself take a step from which there was no turning back. And for me, it was finding a place to give my first lecture and putting up the posters, because that's what we did in 1980. Put up the posters. Deborah Poneman, that wasn't even my name back then, will give a presentation on how to say yes to success. And even though after the posters came up, the discouragement committee also showed up and told me why nobody is going to believe an idea, let your thoughts create your reality. The posters were already up and there is nothing I could do. And now really, after that, the rest is history.
Well, I know that you shared a story. I can't remember which event it was because I've listened to so many of your teachings already, about having, when you're speaking, being really willing at the end to speak to everybody and how that can transform your future. Did you want to talk a little bit about that or maybe not until later?
Yeah, we can talk about that later, but... You mean speaking to everybody just in terms of how to give a great talk?
No, I mean talking to people one-on-one at the end and where that led for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but I know exactly what you mean now. Okay, I was about to launch on another whole tangent about how to be a great speaker, right? Because being a very great speaker is you get up on the stage and you talk as if you're talking to your best friend. You know, you pick up somebody in the audience who has that smile on their face that you know is with you every step of the way, and just talk to them. I mean, you look at the whole audience, but you just, instead, oh, there's 500 people in the audience. No, there's a couple of your best friends, and just talk to them. So that's what I thought you were talking about. But I know what you're talking about, and we'll go there in a little while.
All right. How to have an interesting hook for people to make sure they stay till the very end, which is about 5 to 1. So we had almost an hour booked together. So what a fabulous opportunity. And for those of you who grabbed your pen and paper, all eager to dial in with a question for Deborah, the dial-in number is 1-888-627-6008. So once again, 888-627-6008. I know a lot of people are so intrigued by what it is that you have done in your career and the success that you've had. So we'll see what questions come up. And sometimes people get intimidated by really successful people. So we'll see. So after having such great success with Yes to Success, didn't you give it all up at the height of that success? Something to do with your son, I think, as well, right?
Yes. Well, although my plan, I got, basically what happened was that I got pregnant. And yes, my seminar company was just exploding all over the world. I had reps teaching in Singapore and South Africa and England and Ireland and Norway. And, you know, it was really a happening thing. And I got pregnant. And although my plan was to give birth and get back to following my passion of spreading this message of success throughout the world, the core of my teaching was, in order to live true success, you have to be true to yourself and follow the impulses of truth that speak to you from your heart. So with all the assuredness of an evangelical preacher, I had told the world that the basis of true success was to listen to that inner voice that we so often ignore. And I taught that even if the impulses of your heart appear to be leading you in the opposite direction of your goals, if you really want to be happy and you really want true success, you have to trust and you have to follow those impulses of your heart. And on that fateful day in 1988, the impulses of my heart were saying it was time for my career to come to a screeching halt. And because that was the moment I made the decision to become a full-time mom at home, and there I remained for the next 21 years. So when my daughter was born, I just took one look at her and I thought, new passion. And so I did. I exchanged my seats in the first class cabin for a seat on the floor in Kinder Gym, and my chic business attire for T-shirts and overalls that could be thrown up on. And my brilliant speeches on how to create a life of success were brilliant speeches on why you should share your toys and eat your broccoli. And neither of which my kids did. But and of course, later on, brilliant speeches about how when your curfew is at 11 and it's now 12, you might want to call or at least text me back or at least not pretend that you don't see my text when I'm saying, where are you? Are you okay? And I gave a lot of compelling speeches about actually not ignoring me. And believe it or not, I never got one round of applause or a standing ovation. But anyway, so I left my career to stay at home with the kids. And it's funny because when I made that decision, there were a lot of people who were not happy with me. I was supposed to give a whole series of talks in Southeast Asia. And this guy, his name was Chiang, he called me and he said, okay, I heard you had the baby. Are you ready to, you know, get this on the calendar? And I said, Chiang, you're going to have to call me back in 18 years. So, but, you know, they'd been waiting for me to push the baby out and get back to work. And I was waiting for it, too. So when I said, to my own surprise, I have a new passion, my colleagues thought I had gone completely out of my mind. And they were right. And this is a really important principle of success. I had gone completely out of my mind and right into my heart, because when you follow your heart, that's where your true success lies. And you know, how many of you listeners have ever had a feeling about something and your heart says, I shouldn't do this, and you do it anyway, and it's a disaster? Or how many of you have had the feeling, I should do this, but you didn't out of fear, and you're still kicking yourself? And in all the years I've been teaching, I've had so many people say the same thing. Their heart said yes, but they didn't follow it, and they're still kicking themselves. But I've never had one person say, I listened to my heart and darn, I regret it.
When I was in my early 30s, I can relate to what you're sharing, Deborah. When I was in my early 30s, I had this. I wasn't very happy in my marriage. I think it was about 7 years in, and I was sitting, you know, meditating one day, and you know, saying, you know, what is it that I really, really, really need? And what popped into my brain was the words a child. And at the time, I had no plans on having kids. I was like, a child, what? But then the more I sat with it, that was, you know, one of the greatest gifts that I have had in life so far is the birth of my son and the, you know, beautiful special needs gifts that he's now out sharing with the world. And you have one of his posters that he's you know, selling to raise money for Operation Smile, they're just beautiful. So
I love your son. Your son is one of my heroes, and next time I come up to Canada, I am meeting him no matter what, because I know it didn't work out last time, but I just love him. He is definitely one of my heroes, and you're one of my heroes because you're such a good mother to him.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I was just about to say, I mean, even though you might have said, yeah, you gave up all of this success to have your children, but then look at what you were able to showcase for them and role model for them as a mom, and look at the success that your son is now having and some of the very important lessons that you're now learning from him. Did you want to speak to some of those things?
You know, and also, I just want to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you about my son, and it's because I did learn so much. I put away the books by Napoleon Hill and Wallace Wattles and Clement Stone, and I started learning from the two master teachers who also happened to call me Mom. But I wanted to share this one thing that I never shared with you before about my daughter, because you know all about my son, and I'll share with your listeners, but I just want to share something about my daughter, because when Deanna was in her early 20s, she was a personal stylist at Nordstrom. In fact, she was the youngest personal stylist in the history of Nordstrom, Michigan Avenue, and she was fabulous at what she did. And I remember one day she said to me out of the blue, just matter of fact, by the way, Mommy, I know you're disappointed in me that I'm not out saving the starving children or teaching meditation or joining the Peace Corps, and I'm just a personal stylist. And I said, honey, I can't believe you would say that. You're so wrong. I'm totally proud of you. But my daughter, she's like a no BS kind of a girl, and she would have none of it. And she said, okay, Mommy, I'll let you live your delusion if you want. But I hear how you apologize to your friends when you tell them that I'm a stylist. And then she said to me, but I want you to know that I bring somebody into my styling room who has thought for their entire life that they were unattractive or even ugly. And I pick out just the right clothes and the right jewelry, and I hold up their hair, and that woman turns around and looks in the mirror and sees how beautiful she is for the very first time. I change just as many lives as you do.
Aww. Isn't it true? I mean, even the word just, you know, I'm just a stylist. Take that out of your vocabulary. That's one of the words in my Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations book. Is eliminate that word, because you disempower yourself by saying, oh, I'm just XYZ.
Just. Exactly. And the thing is, she didn't look at herself as that. And then she said to me afterwards, she said, you know, Mommy, everyone's work is important work, and we all need each other to survive, and we all change life in our own way. And everyone deserves our respect. And they're all concepts that I knew. That it was really fabulous, because I tell that story, you know, I speak all over the country, all over the world, and I tell that story, and I've had so many women come up to me who, in tears, saying, my daughter is a hairdresser, or my daughter is, you know, works in the clothing store or whatever, and there's this one woman, she said, I have a son who's a chiropractor, and a daughter who's an attorney, and a daughter who's a hairstylist. And I always looked at her as less, and she was weeping. And she said, now I realize that she is changing life every single day. She said, I'm thinking about how I feel when I get a good haircut or a good color or good style, and how it completely changes how I interact with the world. But I never gave my daughter that credit for being somebody who changes life. And she said, and then I was in touch with her later, and she said it completely changed her relationship with her daughter. So anyway, I know I've never shared that with you before, but I thought it was an interesting story about my daughter's insight. And I'll tell you about my son, or I'll share with your listeners, because you know that when my son was 15, he started this business where he would go to high school basketball games, and he would scout out talent, and he started a website where he would share about that high school basketball talent with college coaches. And he soon became the most well-known scout in the Chicago area for college coaches looking for talent to give scholarships to. And then one day he says to me that he realizes that the kids who are the really, really good players, like the Derrick Roses of the world, that they didn't need him, but the Division II kids who might go to junior college not a Big Ten school. He said, Mom, those are the ones who need me to champion their cause. And then he said that the only way that they could be seen by college coaches is in showcases, and the showcases are too expensive. And we're talking about kids in the inner city of Chicago. He said the showcases are too expensive because they're $150, $200, $250. So at the ripe age of 16, he started a nonprofit called the Shot in the Dark Foundation, and he put on free showcases for the kids in the inner city so that they could come and they could play in front of college coaches for free, and the college coaches can offer them scholarships. They can be seen. And now my son's 28, and in the last, he's done it. He actually took a couple years off, but in the 10 years that he's put on these showcases, he's generated over $40 million in college scholarships for kids in the inner city of Chicago. So...
$40 million, holy smokes.
Holy smokes, right? But the most amazing thing about it, and this is the really amazing teaching that I now teach when I travel around, is that when he would be generating all of this money for these kids, I'd say, Daniel, you're generating millions of dollars in scholarships, and you're sleeping on my couch. And he didn't even go to college because he felt this was more important to, and he's kind of naturally brilliant. He says, you know, I don't have to pay anybody $200,000 to legitimize what I want to do with my life. He said, I know what I want to do with my life. And now he owns his own sports agency, and he's an NBA agent, and he has a lot of top athletes. And, you know, he's very, very successful. He also made a movie about basketball and how it's the only way out for a lot of kids in the inner city, and it was nominated for Emmy Award. So he's doing pretty well for himself. But when he was still sleeping on my couch, I would say to him, Daniel, you have to figure out a way to make money. You have to get paid somehow to do this, generating all these scholarships. And he said to me, Mom, just be patient. I'm building relationship capital.
Relationship capital, yes.
Relationship capital. And I said, okay, I will be patient. And then more months would go by and more millions of dollars in scholarships. And I would say, Daniel, honey, I love you, but you're using my car and it's costing me thousands of dollars a year, and you're sleeping on my couch. And he said, Mom, you're always donating to nonprofits. By supporting me, you know exactly where the money is going, because I'm using my time to get thousands of kids out of the inner city and having a completely different life than they would if they didn't have a college scholarship. And I'm building relationship capital. So, okay, I surrender. You're building relationship capital. Bottom line is that, for example, when he decided that he wanted to make the movie, somebody that he had relationship capital with gave him $500,000. When he decided that he wanted to start his own sports agency, somebody who he had built relationship capital with gave him almost $500,000. No, actually, no, many millions of dollars to start his sports agency, which is called Beyond.am. And he is... And the other day I was talking to him, and he was saying, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so sends his private jet to pick me up, to fly me out to a game, and so-and-so just invited me down to the play. He's just, like, living this unbelievable life, and he still is his nonprofit, but all his dreams have come true, and he's making a lot of money, and he is, it's all because he did things for people just because he wanted to do it. He got scholarships for these kids because it was the right thing to do, but he also knew in his heart of hearts that he was building relationship capital. And now everybody wants to support Daniel Poneman. And
it's a beautiful, relationship beautiful story. The impact that, you know, $40 million in scholarships can make for those inner city kids is huge. And I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, they say that kids, you know, the personalities develop in the first 6 years. You know, the energy and the abundance and the prosperity mindset that you had, even probably as he was in the womb, right?
Yeah.
I believe that has now carried on and fully bloomed into the beautiful soul that he is today, and with your daughter, Deanna, as well. So,
Well, big kudos. Thank you for saying
big kudos. That.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah. You're so sweet, and I so appreciate it, and I always feel your appreciation and your love. And I say about my kids, they saw me and they raised me because I think they have gone above and beyond. But I do have to say, probably one of the greatest moments of my life was when a friend of mine said to Daniel, so as you were growing up, was your mother always quoting to you from Napoleon Hill and Stephen Covey and Wallace Wattles? And he thought about it. He says, you know what? I don't ever. And they said, you know, and is that why you're successful? And he says, you know what? I don't ever remember my mom or my dad. And his daddy is a wonderful, my former husband and I, we're not together anymore, but he is a wonderful, beautiful, sterling gentleman who was also an absolutely inspirational force in my son's life. But when somebody asked him if I was always quoting, he said, you know what? My parents never quoted any of that to me, but I just watched the way they lived their life. And I thought, okay,
exactly.
I could die now and be happy, right?
Yeah. It's not do what I say with kids. It's do what I do. And they, you know, they learn so much. I remember taking Alex with me a number of years ago when I had some revenue properties and I was doing my own interviewing of the potential tenants. I figured, you know, I've interviewed 6,000 people in my career. I should be able to pick great tenants myself without farming that out. And he used to come with me, and he would literally be standing next to me, and he'd ask the questions that I was going to ask before I got them out sometimes. It's so funny to watch. So, you know, I know that, you know, you came back, and so you put your career as your primary focus again. So, you know, what made you come back after the maternity break?
Yes, after the 21 years at Chuck E. Cheese. Actually, there was a moment. I'll tell you the moment. And what happened was that my dear friend Janet Atwood, who is the New York Times bestselling author of The Passion Test, she was one of my students way back, 21 years before, and she was also one of the people who I trained to become a Yes to Success speaker and coach and seminar leader. And she was also my assistant for a while. And one day she says to me, Debbie, she calls me Debbie, she says, Debbie, when are you going to stop pretending that your kids still need you and come back and start speaking again? Because really the world needs you. And I thought about that for a second. It was like, oh, busted. And because my kids were 21 and 18, and I always say yes, but I was still reading them Harry Potter. No, but I actually wasn't, but I would have liked to have been. But I said to Janet, I said, you know what? I don't know if my kids ever need me. I mean, I'm not one who says, oh, everybody should be a stay-at-home mom. Like, no, not by a long shot. As a matter of fact, my kids loved when I started speaking again, and they were so proud of me, and yeah, that's my mom, and so, no, not everybody, but that's what I wanted to do. But when Janet said it's time to, you know, to admit that your kids probably don't need you anymore, and I realized that, I don't know if they ever needed me, but it was me who needed them. Because to me, you know how it is, one I love you mommy from Alex is worth more than 1,000 standing ovations. So it was like, I love that people like, oh, you gave your career for 21 years. I gave up nothing. I loved going to the basketball games and the baseball games and the plays and the this and the this and this. It was one of the most glorious times, and probably the most glorious time in my life. So I gave up nothing. But you know what? She was right. I had to let go. And I was using that as my nourishment. And it was time to go back and start speaking again. But here's another fabulous story about relationship capital. When I declared that I was coming back, my friends who I had helped way back when were all there to help me. And because when I taught the Law of Attraction in the early 80s, I was the only show in town. 21 years later, it was after The Secret had come out. And even though some of the people in The Secret had been my students, people were teaching the Law of Attraction on every street corner. And I thought, am I relevant anymore? But boom, my friends, Janet got me on a stage, boom, 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 just got me some speaking engagements. And then Marcy Shymoff, who you know is... wrote Happy for No Reason and Love for No Reason and Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and the Mother's Soul and the Couple's Soul and the Single Soul and all kinds of souls. She also, when I said, okay, I'm coming back, she just grabbed me and said, you know what? I want to teach this course called Your Year of Miracles, and you're the only person who I want to teach it with. And so right out of the chute in the first year, we did a $1 million launch. And it's because I had built relationship capital with Janet and with Marcy when they were quote-unquote nobody. Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever nobody. They were always somebody, fabulous, you know, just luscious people. But yeah. I hired both of them back in the early 80s. Yeah. Marcy was my personal assistant, and Janet was the first person to teach Yes to Success besides me. And they remembered I had built relationship capital with them. And I always teach, treat everybody as the most important person in the world, because I remember when Marcy came up to me after a Yes to Success seminar, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, cutest little thing, college student, said, I want to work for you. I'm going to drop out of college and work for you, and I'm going to help you. And I treated her like the most important person in the world. I did not think, oh, what can this girl do for me? I believe everybody has something to offer. Just listen and don't look around the room to see if there's somebody more important to speak to. Because you know what? You, as my friend Janet says, you are not the general manager of the universe. There's a higher force that is absolutely, absolutely making everything fall into place perfectly for you if you just do the right thing. And to me, one of the right things is to give everybody your full attention and treat them like the most important person in the world, which they are.
Right.
The person standing in front of you is always the most important person in the world. And 20 years later, boom, I started out on top because of relationship capital.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing how, you know, no experience that the universe gives us is ever wasted. And I love the fact that, you know, Margaret didn't tell you what to do. She asked you a question, and it was a question that started with when. And one of the people that I just presented with last month, Dr. Ravi Gunlapalli from Silicon Valley, the founder and CEO for MentorCloud, you know, he says, and I love this, you know, this one-liner, you know, one powerful question can change the direction of your life. And now he's talking about mentorship, but it's the same thing with coaching. You know, when I ask one powerful question, all kinds of things go off. And obviously with the question that Margaret asked you, same thing. It changed the direction of your life. So,
yeah,
here we are. So, you know, hard to believe you gave that, you gave your career up again. You had this height of success. Now you're back to the refreshed purpose. So, talk a little bit about what you're currently up to, and then I know that you mentioned sharing a generous gift for the listeners. So, hang in there, people. We have something for you at the end. So, what are you up to now, other than doing fabulous keynote speaking?
Yes. Well, you know, I taught your miracles with Marcy for 5 years. Her name's actually Marcy Shymoff, and I taught this program with her. And I realized during the fifth year that it wasn't bringing me deep joy anymore. And this is a really important principle that I wanted to share with everybody, and it'll lead into what I'm doing now. But I'm a creative, and the first few years when we were creating Your Year of Miracles and refining all of the knowledge, I was in heaven. But the fourth and fifth year, there wasn't that much more we could do. We had created this amazing program that worked for people, and if it ain't broken, don't fix it. But it wasn't that fun for me anymore because the real creative part was over. So this is an important point. I told Marcy that I wanted to move on from Your Year of Miracles, and she was like, no, you know, you're the only person I can do this with because we love each other and we were having a great time.
Right.
But I reminded her of one of the main principles that I teach, and that is when you listen to your intuition and you do what's best for yourself, it will always be what's best for everyone else, but only 100% of the time. And but she's still like, no, you can't leave me. But we had to just go to the place of, Deb, if you do what's best for yourself, it will be what's best for everybody else. And now Year of Miracles is still going, and she has a fabulous Dr. Sue Mortar teaching with her, and Lisa Gar, and we got some admin people to take my place. But what I realized is that the reason why it took me so long to tell Marcy, because it took me like a year to get up my courage to tell her, and then people were like, oh, how can you give this up? It's such a lucrative gig. It's such a, you know, fabulous gig. But I don't want anybody to put me on any kind of courage pedestal or make it seem like, because I don't want to make it seem like it was a cakewalk. But here's the thing. This is really important on your journey to success. And that is, don't give in to your fear. Because I remember the great Lisa Nichols once saying, you will be afraid when you take a leap. But you're afraid not because it's the wrong dream. You're afraid because it's the right dream. See, that's where most people get stopped. When you're afraid, you think it's wrong, but your dreams have to be bigger than you. I remember Lisa talking about Martin Luther King and how his mission was so big that he was afraid. And then God spoke to him and said, I will give you everything you need. March on, Martin, and he did, because he was more committed to his assignment, to his divine assignment, than he was to his fear. You just need to say to the fear, fear, you have no power over me. I am the designer of my life and not you. And if you think, but I can't do it, my idea is so big, you're right, you can't do it. But you're not doing it. There's a higher power that gave you that assignment, that whispered it into your ear, that's working through you. And if a dream burns in your heart, that's because you're supposed to move on it. And you will never be given an assignment by the Creator without being given everything you need to fulfill that assignment. The Creator isn't a trickster, like, here's your assignment, but ha, 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 I'm not going to give you what you need to fulfill it. So, right? So move quickly enough to keep your momentum going, but slowly enough to always hear the guidance of your inner voice. And if your inner voice says, move on from a relationship, move on from a job, move on from the place that you're living, you will find that you are so much stronger. And you teach people about self-confidence, and you know when you face one of those big ones, you are so much stronger when you come out on the other side. And I know it's not easy. And I'll tell you, when I left, you know why it wasn't easy for me? Because one of my big things in life is that I hate to disappoint people. So I avoided for over almost a year to tell Marcy that I wanted to move. And it wasn't, and I realized it wasn't so much that I didn't want to disappoint her. It was that I didn't want to feel the discomfort of disappointing her. I didn't want her to be disappointed and then me feeling, oh, God, I did that to Marcy. But whenever you have something that is really, really the biggie for you to face, that's the one that you have to move through. You know, we're moving so fast on this planet right now, and it's like the 100th monkey. When you do something scary, it's, you know, that story about the 100th monkey washing the sweet potato, and then all the monkeys spontaneously started washing their sweet potato. When you do something scary, maybe you're the 100th monkey, and it'll help everybody in the world move on and do their scary thing so that we could create a world that works and we could have the strength and the self-confidence on the other side. That was a long tangent to tell you that right now I'm still in that place of, I have so many possibilities of what I could do, but right now I'm still in that place of being inward. I just got back from 5 weeks in India, and I was just inward that whole time, and I am just waiting for that next right idea to be whispered into my ear. And just like I've done so many other times in my life, I completely trust that it's going to be whispered, and I am going to act on that whisper. I'm going to leap, even if it's scary, because I know success is waiting on the other side.
Yeah, well, you've had the beauty of, you know, moving across the country and moving house, and, you know, that's a great time to, you know, declutter and make space for new energy to come in, new ideas to come in, so you can act on them right away. And I loved what you said earlier about, telling others when you start. This is my notes, right? Telling others when you start it and not before, because I always find that it's much easier to say to people what you've already done, not what you're about to do, because, you know, you don't necessarily know exactly how it's going to unfold. And as the universe puts things in front of us, sometimes it shows up in a different way. And if we've already externally committed something, then, you know, that doesn't always feel good. But for those listeners who are interested in that whole concept of ideas, Elizabeth Gilbert has that Big Magic book, which is probably as a result of a conversation with you, Deborah, sharing that idea, you know, about grasping it while it comes to you. I want to just spend a couple of minutes before we sort of start to wrap up here on a couple of things. Definitely the power of the right words. You know, you talked about acting in alignment with what you teach. Again, so, so important. I'm going to be talking about this, you know, inner and outer alignment when I speak at the YY Chic Fashion Gala on November 7th here in Calgary. You know, it's not just about what you put on the outside of your body. That does do amazing things, as your daughter Deanna will attest to. And it's also super important to be aligned, just as you were aligned with what's really right for you. And as this, you know, interview started off being called, I mean, it's really about sharing, it's about living, you know, living your truth, even though it might be difficult. You choose and you do it anyway, because you can sleep at night and you have peace and you know that things will unfold the way that they're supposed to. Now, we promised a gift. So you mentioned sharing this. So what is the gift and how can people access it? How can they keep in touch with you after this this interview?
Well, if you go to Yes to Success, and it's YESTO, yestosuccess.com/ebook, I am offering people my ebook, which is called The 5 Secrets to a Life of True Success. And in it, I talk about creating silence with spiritual practices and living in the flow of grace by, I offer some energetic practices people could do. And I talk about service and sacred activism and discovering your dharma, what you're put on earth to do. And it's a free book. And if you just put in your name and your e-address, then I will, I hope it's okay, I will put you on my mailing list. I probably send out fewer things than anybody else's mailing list that you've ever been on in your life. Because I only send things that I think are just amazing. So anyway, but, and of course you could opt out any time, but I'll also send out emails about when I might be speaking in your area or if I might be offering a course online. But the most important thing is just get this ebook. You'll love it. I have some great stories in it. There's even a picture in it of me and my son, so you can see what he looks like. And pictures of me and Marcy and me and Dana. It's, of course, I had to put all my pictures of all my homies in the ebook. But anyway, it's a great book, and it's really life-changing. So that's it. It's my gift.
That's very generous. Thank you for the gift. I feel compelled to also offer a gift as well. Typically when I do my show, I do a play of the launch video, which actually was what helped my book get to bestseller status overnight, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. But because of the power outages and because we've had such a beautiful conversation, if you're listening and you're intrigued to learn more about it, I would say just hop on my website. It's on the homepage, wordswomenandwisdom.com, and it's spelled out A-N-D, wordswomenandwisdom.com. You can listen to the video about the book and where to get that on Amazon, etc. But I think what I'll do is I'm going to also make a donation. If you decide that you would like to get a free ebook, like 3 chapters from my book, I will happily gift that to you. Just join my Women in Wisdom VIP group, and you can do that by clicking on the main page again. There's a little thing called Your Joyful 2019. But once you get involved with clicking that for those free downloads, I'll also send you the three-chapter excerpt as well. So lots of good ideas, lots of learnings, nuggets of wisdom, free gifts. I think with technology today being on the backup generator, because BBS Radio is located in California, we may or may not have had to challenge with anyone dialing in. However, if you have questions, do feel free to send me a note through my contact page. And I'm not sure if Deborah would be available after this interview, but stay in touch. You get your name on her connection list, and you'll get the free ebook, but also you'll have an opportunity for keeping up with where she's going to be keynoting next, because you don't want to miss it. I'm sure you've learned lots today, and thank you, Deborah, for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do, and thank you for who you are. You're one of my favorite people on the planet. So, and I'll see you soon next January.
I will see you next January, and if you happen to be coming up to Calgary again, I am hosting some Bold Women Leaders events. I think the next one is coming up November 6th, and then another one in December, just sort of morning sessions for women, aspiring women leaders. So let me know if you're back again, and we can grab a glass of wine.
Yeah. I think I might wait until winter's over, but
we'll
be there again.
We'll have a beautiful
day. I love Calgary.
Thank you so much, Deborah. It's been lovely chatting with you, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Okay, lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye for now, everybody.